Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God.
That's right.
That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down the strongholds. And I'm going to go ahead and read this other verse too. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, that thing's about, if you're going to bring it into captivity, you've got to bring that thought in and hold it. You're captive. It's a battle. And so we'll talk about that a little bit tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I sure can't do anything without you. And Lord, if anybody gets any help here tonight, it'd be because of you. And Lord, I just want to tell you, I'm low and you are high, I'm nothing, you are everything. And please, right, Heavenly Father, speak to your people tonight. Lord, I pray you'd use your word. And Lord, I pray that you would meet the needs of the heart. And I pray, Lord, if somebody's lost, they would trust you for salvation. Lord, if these saved people, Lord, need to grow and get closer to you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, they would be strong in you and lean on you and look to you. And Lord, we're asking all these things in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to talk to you a little bit about spiritual warfare tonight. And just want you to know that you're in a battle, whether you take it serious or not. The devil's taking it serious. Not to just use a carnal illustration, but if any of y'all, you know, most people in here watch television before. But if you ever watch them Rocky movies, you ever seen that old Rocky movie where Rocky, he's young in boxing and everything. He's been losing a lot. But he's a fighter, you know. And then you got Apollo Creed. He's the champion. He's already got the victory, already got the belt and everything. He's not taking the fight serious. So his trainer is up there saying, now look, this man means business. He's in a meat factory hitting meat, busting his hands up, and he's serious about this fight. And if you don't take it serious, you're going to run into some issues.
That's right.
You know what he did? He got up there and lost. Now, you know what that Bible teaches us? We're fighting from victory.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo, when you trust Jesus Christ, look,
amen.
I'm not fighting for acceptance. I've already been accepted in the blood.
That's right.
The Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And it says when you trust the gospel, you are accepted in the beloved. You're accepted because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what you can do.
That's right.
But once you do that, there's a battle there.
Yeah.
And that battle is every single day, and it has to do with the mind.
That's right.
It says casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself. You see, what happens is you start exalting yourself, and you're being just like the devil.
Yep.
And you say, well, I don't do that. Well, you wouldn't say it out loud. You're not going to tell somebody you think you're better than they are out loud.
That's right, brother.
You see, but the Bible says doing all things by prayer. Okay, well, whenever you get in your vehicle or something, you go here, there, and yonder, and you didn't ask God to help you.
Right.
You just did that on your own. Now, God protected you. Yeah, He protects you, you know, most of the time. But here's the issue. Something happened to you, then you blame God.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not God's fault.
Exactly.
See, we blame the Lord. There is a battle out there that the devil wants to take your mind, and wants to take your family. Let me tell you what the devil does. You read the book of Job. And the devil hates you so bad, if he were to get permission, he'd kill you, give you any sickness he'd give you, and take your whole family from you.
That's right.
That's who you're dealing with. And we just walk around like, well, you know, I don't have to practice when I saw or anything else. You imagine some of these folks don't pick up their Bible, don't study, don't read, don't pray, stuff. But you say, but what happens is, you think, well, I'll just read a little devotion here, there, and yonder. When the Bible says study to show thyself approved unto God. Not
that's
unto
right.
Me, unto God.
That's
workman, because it's work. That needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, you wouldn't have to, people just, well, I just take that sword every now and then. I just read it here. A lot of you, you know, you sit it in the back seat of your car and stuff like that, or you leave it on the pew all week long. You pick it back up Sunday. But the thing, I'm not here to bash you. What I'm trying to tell you is the battle is serious. And the only thing that you know about the spiritual warfare that's there is what is in that Bible.
That's right.
You can't just make this stuff up.
Right.
Amen.
Okay, you say, well, I need the power of
God. Every one of you need the power of God. Why it says in the power of His might is how you fight.
Right.
Okay, you take the Bible over and turn to Judges chapter number 16 then. Go ahead and do it. Judges 16, let's look at it. Well, it's what happens. See, you say, well, I want power. Let's look at a couple places where I tell you what, before we start, we'll look at Judges 14 first. Now, here's the issue. Every one of us in here want power. The thing is, I want y'all to have power in your life. That's what we need, power in your daily life.
Amen.
When people talk about this power, and you know, you read that verse, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And they get all this stuff to be filled with the Spirit of God when they didn't even read the context.
Right.
It says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, verse number 17. The will of the Lord, he said, what's the will of God for my life? Be filled with the Spirit of God and operate in the Spirit of God in your daily life.
That's right.
Amen.
He says, well, this preacher needs to be filled. You need to be filled. Sit right there with
you. Amen.
Yeah.
Why? Because if not, you're not going to be a good husband, and you're not going to be a good child, children. And if you don't do that, guess what? The Bible tells you to submit over there in Ephesians chapter number 5. Tells you how to speak in verse number 19 to one another. You say, what does all this have to do? Just common everyday stuff. How do you speak to yourself in Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs? Well, if you speak in a biblical way, and treat the women as their mothers, the Bible says, and the women as sisters and things like that. Look, if you treated the women as their sister, not like some of these brothers and sisters who fight and carry on all the time. I'm talking about treating them good.
That's right.
Taking up for.
That's right.
You know what makes a good church is taking up for each other.
That's right.
Not just running each other down. Y'all know the old saying, two things to wear you out. Run upstairs or run down people. I'm saying people wore out because you know Christians bite and devour one another. That's what the world does.
Yeah.
You watch that news and guess what they do? They bite. Well, they did this and CNN did this and MSNBC did this thing and Fox News over here and this and quit and this and got fired and this and look. Yeah. That's the word.
That's right.
Amen.
You know what Christians do? They watch that junk and you get that junk in your mind. And then what happens is somebody does something make you mad and you go home and you say something about them, this, that, and other, and you start biting and devour and you're just like a carnivore. You know what that Bible tells you? Endure hardness as a good soldier. So you know what that tells me? If you don't fight the good fight of faith, you're going to fight somebody. And if you're not fighting the world of the flesh and the devil, you know what you're going to do? You're going to fight your fellow churchmen.
Come on.
And that's how churches get tore up.
Come on.
While I'm running somebody down. We can't do this. So you know what makes you lose power? There's things in that Bible, and you got the directions of how to gain power right in the book of Ephesians. He tells you in that book. But there's types in the Bible that tells you how you can lose your power. You get over there in Judges chapter number 14, there's a man over there named Samson, had all the power of God available to him.
Yeah.
Enough where physically he can kill 1,000 people at one time. That's pretty good bit of power.
Right. Yeah.
This is what happened. You got all those spiritual blessings. Look, I look, some of them tags, some people got some tags. I seen one tag said, in Trump, I trust. You went too far, though. In God we trust.
Amen.
Come on. All right, but there I seen another tag and it said, blessed. You know what? The Bible says in Ephesians 1 verse 3, we're blessed with all spiritual. I'm already blessed.
Amen.
But the only way that you're going to be able to tap into those blessings is to be filled with the Spirit of God and have His power. But you got to realize there's things that will take your power.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're living in a world now where people just get their power taken and wonder what happened. Well, here's the old boy right here. And I love studying these old stories in the Bible and stuff. And you read Judges 14 verse 5, it says, then went Samson down. Look, here comes the downward spiral that sin leads you on. I don't care how strong you are today. You can be weak tomorrow, spiritually.
Amen.
That's what happened to him. He went down. See, sin take you down. Read about old Jonah over there. He went down, 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 down. The whole book, he's going down, down, until he gets right with God. You get right with God and then go up. That's neat to me. And his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath and behold a young lion roared against him and the Spirit of the Lord. See this, you better realize something.
Yep.
You can be serving God one minute and in the very next minute if you're not yielded to God you can do something stupid. You got to yield to the Lord. The Bible teaches you yield. Romans 6, it says,
It says, watch this. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Watch him go down again. He went down and talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well. Now, turn to Judges 16, if you will. Now, look here. He had a lot of power. And if you've got great things entrusted with you, that's with great responsibility comes with that.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? That Bible tells you all the power that God will give you is available to you. But that comes with a lot of responsibility.
Yes, sir.
And you can lose. Now, look, you get these places in this Bible. That Bible tells you you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you see what a seal is. That if you read the book of Esther, that's a king, like the king's ring. He would put his seal on it. And that image is upon you.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he wants you to live out the doctrine. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, he gives you doctrine, and then he starts giving you practical application of the doctrine in chapter 4, 5, and 6. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called. All these things. Walk in love, all these things. Why? He's wanting you to walk out the doctrine he told you. And some people just, all they want to talk about is doctrine when the first two letters in doctrine is due.
Yeah.
Okay? He wants you to live these things out in your daily life.
That's right.
Okay, this old boy right here, you know what he did? If you read about he was a Nazarite, if you read about his vows, he was not supposed to touch a dead carcass.
That's right.
Touch that carcass, and that's why he didn't tell his mom and daddy, because later he gives them honey that was in that carcass when he comes back by.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, you know what that Bible tells you? He told not his mother. Secret sin. Now, I know Brother Brandon talked about that the other night, but that's how you start.
Yeah.
See, it starts off and nobody knows about it, and then it manifests later. See, that devil will he knows you're not just going to run out here and do something crazy right off the bat. Especially if you're in here tonight reading your Bible, you're interested in God, things like that. But what he's got to get you doing is something in private that will eventually manifest out publicly later. Look, Samson was doing things, little things that you wouldn't even think about. On his own, and he wasn't telling anybody about it.
That's right.
Then you go here, and not only secret sin, but then sensual sins over here, and he's laid his head down in the lap of Delilah over there in Judges chapter 16.
Right.
And she cuts the seven locks of his head. Now, I think this is interesting. You study the numbers in the Bible. Seven is a number for completeness or perfection.
That's
a picture of the Bible. There's a good picture of a Christian laying his head down in the lap of the world. It's a picture of a woman over there in Proverbs. And he lays his head down in the lap of the woman of this world, and she just lulls him to sleep. That's why the Bible says, awake unto righteousness. Okay, so guess what happens? He gets in there, starts off secret sins, then sensual sins get him, and before long, he's sleeping when he should be awake. Now, nothing's wrong with sleeping, but moderation is key. If you allow it to make you lazy, sleeping becomes a sin. Look, there was nothing wrong with getting a haircut, but he got it in the devil's barbershop.
That's right. That's right.
So you got to be careful where you're going. Look, if you're a Christian, look here, the Bible says all things are lawful for me, but not all things are not expedient. Some things just aren't good for you to do because it don't look good.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Now, what am I saying? Look, that's like little white lies. Just a little white lie, no big deal. Well, you know what happens? A little white lie becomes more and more and more. That's why you got to be careful. What God's doing is God wants you to have power for service in your daily life. And the only way to have this thing is to be careful about this one, because if you get a stronghold in your mind, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not something you can grab a hold of. It's something that has to do with mind. And there becomes a stronghold there. And before long, that thing is in your mind and you cannot get it out of it. That's why, like children and stuff, it's good for children when they're young to be careful what they listen to. Be careful who they're around and things like that. Why? Because it's so hard for them to get that stuff out of their mind whenever they're a child. You get around a whole bunch of gossipers and stuff, and before long, guess what? They grow up and say, well, no, why that gossip? Well, they were around it for so many years, that's just what they learned to do.
That's right.
It's hard to get out of that stuff. Get to where you're running so-and-so down, this and that. And before long, they've seen that so many years. It's a stronghold in their mind. And you know what? We got to be real careful about this stuff. That's like church and stuff like that. You know what's so sad to see? A lot of children, they are not growing up interested in the Bible.
That's right.
Now, we can blame children a lot, but you know what? How often have they seen you studying your Bible on your own?
That's right.
On your own time. You better get in there and study your Bible, little so-and-so.
Yeah, but they never said you studying your Bible. Why should they be interested in your name?
That's right.
They're interested in what you're doing.
That's right.
And what happens is these little things, secret sin, sensual sin, get us where we don't have the power, and you're not serving like you should serve, because that thing has got a stronghold in your mind. And the only way to break that stronghold is what doeth the Word of God said. You got to take on the whole armor of God. Why? You're out in the battle with no protection. Woo!
Amen.
What I'm hearing about, you just not protect. You say you're so arrogant. You get to where you're so arrogant. You think you don't need any protection when He gives you the armor. But He told you over in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand.
Yeah.
So how come I'm not standing? How come I fall? I fall down all this time. Yeah, it's okay. A just man shall fall 7 times, get back up. I see that. But guess what? You wouldn't fall as much.
Yeah.
And be carried about with every wind of doctrine.
That's right.
Ephesians
chapter
4.
Yeah, that's right.
If you were standing.
That's right.
And the only way to stand
that's
is
right.
in His armor.
Amen.
That wind of doctrine just blowing around, you believe anything anybody tells you.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't think the news don't preach doctrine. Just because they're preaching out of the Bible.
So,
all preaching doctrine. They predict all this stuff, and the world's going to end so and so. But it still hasn't ended yet. They don't know why. Because it's unpredictable. Only God knows.
That's right.
So He's climate change, all this stuff. You believe that stuff, but just be crazy if you want to.
Let me tell you something.
The thing is about that. If you know anything about insurance, somebody don't believe in climate change. Why? They still covering all them big old multi-million-dollar houses they build right on the sea.
That's right.
Building this beachfront property. Well, somebody don't believe it.
That's right.
And they think we're crazy. I think they're crazy. You still got younger, a little nicer about that stuff. But now when you start seeing it as face value and you see, hey, that's a religion. Well, they believe that stuff, and they want you to believe it, and they get mad that you don't believe. Well, look here. I believe the Bible.
That's right.
And you know what you got to do? You got to be careful. Now, you lose your power, but the only time I've seen, I tried to check it best I can with concordance, the only time I've seen power with God is 2 places in my Bible. Power with God. Not power of God, but the phrase power with God is 2 places. Once you turn to Genesis 32. Once you see this thing, I think this will be a help to you. Some of my favorite stories, I just want to preach to you some of my favorite stories tonight. I think maybe it'll be a help. But that's what we're here to do. We want to be a help to one another and show you things we found in the Bible so you can see this thing and you can get what you need to serve. You need power to serve. You know, that's like, I'm amazed at some of these folks. They come down, you know, they want to do, you know, you got a lot of folks, they talk about wanting to work, and they really don't want to work. They want to make out like they want to work.
Yeah.
And tell their wife they went out and looked for a job and they really didn't. They come down here and they say, well, I want a job, I want to work, okay? You tell them what all they got to do, well, I want top pay. Well, you got to learn something, top pay, man.
Amen.
You can't come down here and tell us, you can't come down here and tell a man, you want to come in at 10:30 in the morning, but you want to get off at 4 o'clock because you take your mama somewhere, and you want to make $25 an hour, and by the way, I'm going to start tomorrow. You can't do that, John. Now, if we think that's funny about a world example, how are you going to serve God? You're going to tell God how you're going to serve, when you're going to serve, and what all you're going to do when He gives you the directions in His Bible?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He said, you're going to have to serve like this, otherwise you're not serving correctly.
Yeah.
All right, power with God. You get over in Genesis 32, there's a man named Jacob over there. And you know what happens to him? He was known. He had a history of being a schemer. He got over with his daddy one time, and he dressed up like his brother Esau because Isaac, his daddy, he got to where his eyes were dim, and he couldn't see. But he favored Esau over Jacob, which is dangerous. But anyway, Jacob and his mother, they conglomerated together. That's not the right word. They schemed together. How about that? Thanks to your Bible. Hey, that's not the right word. She helped me out. So they got together. Come on, that thing. And you know what happened? Jacob took with his daddy. And he said, art thou my son Esau? He said, I am. You know what happened? You get over at Genesis chapter number 32, and here's Jacob wrestling. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and power. And you know what I like about it? The Lord Jesus Christ said He's over all the principalities and power.
Amen.
And you know what? You need to start practicing with the Lord then.
Amen.
Training. Get there with the Lord. Say, Lord, I need some help here. Lord, I need to build some strength here. Lord, I'm weak over here. Look at your weaknesses and see. And he gets down there, guess where his weakness was? Leaning on his own flesh all the time. I can do it, Lord. Don't worry about it. I'll figure it out. You're not going to figure it out either.
No.
So you know what happens? He gets down there and gets wrestling with the Lord. And you know what the Lord does? The Lord gets over there to him.
And he tells him something very interesting about power here. Because we're going to connect this back to Ephesians. To me, I love how the Bible just goes together. Look, a man couldn't have wrote this book. So he gets over in Genesis chapter number 32, and the Bible says in verse 27, and he said unto him, what is thy name? Uh-oh, running right back over to chapter 27:24, where he said to his daddy, he lied and said, my name's Esau. He said, I want to know your name. You know what he's saying? He said, Jacob. You know what he's saying? He's admitting he's a deceiver.
That's right.
He got to admit it. Look, you ain't going to get right with God unless you admit who you are.
Amen.
You know what Job said about, I abhor myself and repent in sackcloth. That's uncomfortable. In ashes. Look, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. I deserve death is what that thing, that's a picture they would do that thing there. And you know what he's saying? Jacob, just a deceiver. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. Oh man, this is wonderful. But Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men and hast prevailed. You know where he got the power? With his new name.
Yeah.
His new nature.
He
didn't get power till he got that new name. You know what that Bible tells you? Put off Ephesians chapter 4 verse 22, the old man.
That's right.
He says put on the new man.
Yeah.
And then he starts telling you what putting on the new man looks like and how to put on the new man and how to be filled with the Spirit of God putting on the new man. Then he said in verse 11 chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand.
Yeah.
You know what the whole armor is? The new man.
Amen.
You know why he was telling you to walk over to Ephesians, walk where the vocation, where was you being called? Ephesians 4:1. You know why he's telling you walk in love as God, as Christ has also loved us and gave himself a sacrifice, a sweet smell of savor unto God? Guess what happens there? If you will start walking in your daily life, with God, you'll start becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right, brother.
You'll start, okay, here's the thing. He got power with God with his new name. Now you get over here to Ephesians, you know what he said, now if you're going to put on the whole armor of God, you're going to withstand against things in the evil day. Why? Because the days are evil. He'd already told you. Every one of you got an evil day coming.
Yeah.
You're going to go to that doctor one of these days, and I hate it so bad they're going to give you some bad news.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you hadn't been standing, you're not going to be able to stand.
That's right.
Yeah.
That doctor's going to come in there and say, you got 6 months. But if you don't trust God, you know what you can say? You can say, doctor, I appreciate you telling me that, but you don't have power to life and death.
Amen.
I have seen God.
Amen.
Keep people alive, and it's up to God, not the doctor.
Amen.
You can stand in that evil day. Somebody comes up there and says, oh, you're not going to believe what saw you child doing so-and-so, and I don't know what's going to come of that. You know what you knew? You stand in that evil day.
Right.
So let me tell you something. God help me, God can help them.
Yes,
that's
right.
I'm not going to give up. Why? Because God Almighty can change heart. And it'll get to the place in your life where you won't fall, but everything that comes your way happens. Why? Because you know to trust God. He said, have your loins girded about with truth. Well, what's loins have to do? You get over it, I think the first mention is around Genesis 35, where it tells you, he told him over, he said, kings are going to come out of your loins.
Yeah.
Loins has to do with a birth and fruitfulness.
Yeah.
Okay, loins are about with truth. You're not going to have anything good come from you if you don't have truth. Look, gird about. Look, the whole uniform starts off with loins gird about with truth. Well, look, if I didn't have a belt on, my suit would be falling off of me.
Yeah, right, brother.
Yeah. A lot of folks say, wonder why the armor wobbles around and everything, and the breastplate's about to fall off, the shield of faith can't hold it. Look, you got to have the loins gird about with truth first. Why? Because truth holds it all together. What's truth? John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth,
and the life.
That's right. John 17:17, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth.
That's right.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 6, verse 7 said, the Word of Truth.
That's right.
Amen.
2 Timothy 3:15, I can see it in my Bible right here on the right margin, but I made it 2 Timothy. But either way, it said, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
You got to know what truth is. A lot of people don't even know what truth you're talking about. If you don't know what the truth is, you're not going to be able to hold your whole armor together.
Right.
You got to have the whole armor. Okay, what is truth? Somebody ask you, okay, you Bible believer, give me 10 verses on child rearing.
Right.
Oh, you businessman, give me a verse on business.
Right.
Not sloth on business, Romans chapter 12. Would that work for you? That's one.
Yeah.
Be diligent in your business. Read Proverbs. If you don't get a grasp on that Bible and realize that's the book of life, it tells you how to live. You're going to get strongholds in your mind in this world. It's going to confuse you, and before long, you're not going to know which way's up.
Right.
You're going to have, and you're going to be, I'm going to tell you something. That's what you say, what's going on in this world? It's this simple. No fear of God before their faces. And you read the book of Psalms, the fear of God. The word of God in Psalm 119 is called the fear of God.
Right.
I think it's verse 7 over there. You know what that is? You won't have the fear of God if you don't read your Bible daily. Why? Because you don't know that there's a God of wrath there.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Okay, this world don't realize there's a God up there, and the Bible says the wrath of God abideth on them.
Yeah.
That's how if they die, they go straight to hell. You know, there's no lingering around, no waiting on this thing. Look here. That's why we want to preach the right Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not a little sissy Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Some people got up there and they get these little sissy outfits on. They got their jeans tight, their heads light, and everything else. And they get up there and don't know what they're saying, and they present a wrong Jesus.
Right.
Let me tell you something. Jesus said, we got, he's king.
Yeah, he is.
Yes,
sir. Amen.
And the Bible said in Revelation 19, he's going to come back and stone them.
Right.
His enemies.
Yeah, that's right.
And these tough guys. Yeah, you look. All us guys are tough. You get sick.
Yeah.
I've seen tough guys. You get sick in the hospital and you crying for your wife.
You're right. I'm dying. I've done it before.
All right. Yeah. Let me tell you something. A lot of these people think they're so tough. They make all these hard speeches and everything else. You wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back, and the Bible said they're going to be crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall.
That's right.
Man, I'll tell you something. We won't see people get saved.
Amen.
But what truth? What Holy Spirit? The true Holy Spirit won't make you act like an idiot.
That's right.
It's embarrassing to see some of the stuff. You turn on the television, so many people up here falling at the mouth and walking around in the aisles. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit of God don't make you do that.
That's right.
The Bible said the power, love, and a sound mind give you self-control. Give you self. And I just couldn't control it. Okay, well, you better watch out. It wasn't God then.
That's right.
He gives you control.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what church you talking about up here? You know what that Bible tells you? He does not tell you trust the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Baptist Church, Church of Christ, Lutheran, none of that stuff. No, he told you trust the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
All these people, what you ask them, go door to door and stuff, you ask them, well, are you saved? Well, I got baptized when I was 13.
Yeah.
Okay. What's that got to do with Christ being shown? See, nothing. Well, you know, I've been going to church since I was a kid. Well, the demons believe and tremble.
That's
what I say.
Amen.
What I'm saying is salvation is in a person, and once you trust the gospel, that's the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, his atonement for your sins.
Amen.
Then he will put the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, 1 Corinthians 12:13, baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. That's right.
You can get water baptized at every single time.
Oh, who
knows your Social Security number, and it's not going to help you one little bit.
That's right.
You got to trust the gospel.
Amen.
What's that? Why does it get you so excited, brother? Because people are not trusting the gospel.
No.
Hey, I asked the guy, stood up, me and Titus, you can have my boy, if I'm lying, I'm dying, like Jerry Clower said. Well, I come outside of Walmart, and he was selling crosses, and I asked him, I said, hey, fella, just want to ask you before I give you any money, because he's wanting me to buy some of that stuff. I said, what's the gospel? He said, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I said, uh-oh. I said, are you saved? He said, I'm trying. I said, well, you're not saved then. The only way you can get saved is to trust what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross.
Amen.
That's Lord's word about truth. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have that truth right there, you're not going to be able to stand. You're not going to be able to walk. It all starts and that holds everything else together.
That's right.
Amen.
You don't have that, you don't have anything.
That's right.
Now you got Lord's word about the truth. The Bible says have it on the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, what's that breastplate for? That's there to protect your heart. That's a personal righteousness over there. Look, I've got the righteousness of Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 3 tells you. But what he's saying is, I've been telling you about all this stuff, chapter 1, 2, and 3. Now I want you to walk in that, yielding to Jesus Christ, and he gives you his righteousness to live that truth out every day.
Amen.
You know what that does? That protects your heart. Why? You come up to somebody and they don't know you from Adam's house cap. And you walk up there and you get talking to them and everything, and before long you say, oh, I'm Christian. And then you don't have to listen to all that cussing 4 or 5 days
right.
and all that nasty. You let them know you put on that breastplate right quick so your heart can be protected. And you don't have to sit there and say, man, I wish I'd have told him I was a Christian. You put on that breastplate of righteousness and you say, this is where I stand.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
This is my stand. Why? Because you're not going to talk like that around my children.
That's right.
I don't want to hear that nonsense.
That's right.
Well, okay, well, we believe so-and-so. Well, don't get around my child. We believe males can go in the women's bathroom. Well, not around my child.
Right. Amen.
Come on. You want to act like an idiot? Look, and that's what they do.
Yep.
He said, well, brother, ain't you being mean? No, that's the Bible. The Bible says he created a male and female created him. See, what I'm saying is, if you don't start protecting yourself and protecting your heart, this world's going to cave in on you. And before long, well, I've got a friend, they're just nice as they mean. Like, yeah, I don't care how nice they are. Those serial killers are nice. And
they're
nice.
You're right.
But when I find out how that is, guess what? Not around my family, not around my church.
That's right, brother.
Don't come in there with my church.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Why? That's my folks.
That's right.
See that man right there? That's my papa standing right there. And it takes my preaching and my teaching, I'm going to try to pray and I'm going to try to ask God to help me. Why? These people are special to me.
That's right.
I want my heart protected. I want their heart protected.
Yep.
Amen.
That breastplate of righteousness there is there to protect your heart. Then he says, okay, well, have your feet shod in preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, what are you going to do with that verse right there? Okay, if that's part of the armor, look, well, it's amazing to me that your foot is called the sole of your foot. Well, if you're walking around, you don't have a foot. If you don't have a shoe on your foot, you're going to hurt your walk, aren't you?
That's right.
Okay, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay, it's just like putting a shoe on my foot. It protects my soul when I'm walking around with that. The Bible says, "Live of the gospel," and that protects your soul. Why? Because things that get deep down in there, man. You get to walk around, you don't have that protection of the gospel of peace. That Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, therefore being justified from God, we have peace with God.
Yeah,
because I'm justified. You get the peace with God. Then he tells you over in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7, he said, in the peace of God, it passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds. So you get the peace of God, the peace with God, then you get the peace of God.
Right.
Now those two things about peace will guard your life. You trust the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross, and then you walk around that gospel of peace. You know what that do? That transfers to other people's lives. You know, a lot of people, you ever get around some people and they just kind of shift. They just kind of, they don't know what they believe. One day they're kind of like this, and one day they're kind of like that. You don't have to be like that. You're going to have your gospel shoes on, knowing that gives you peace in your heart. Why? Because you can't give what you don't have.
Right.
And if you don't have peace in your heart, how in the world are you going to preach the gospel of peace and tell people you got the peace of God in your life if you don't really have it in your heart?
Right.
Yeah. It's going to hurt your walk. You got to have the peace of God in your heart and life. He says over there, he said, now, if you're going to stand on all these things, you better have these. And he said, then, above all, he tells you, have the helmet of salvation. Okay, you get that helmet on there. Now you go over there to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. You get to reading out there in Goliath. He's got all this armor, you know. And the Bible said over there in 1 Samuel 17, he had a helmet. Well, it's a strange thing. Here's this great big old guy, and he's expecting maybe somebody like Saul. Saul had that good armor, and Saul was around 7 foot tall. Because if you give, you know, the average Israelite's probably around 6 feet tall. And they said that Saul was a head higher than anybody else. So let's just give him 7 feet just to be, you know, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. So he should have been the one to fight Goliath, him or Abner. Abner was a great big old guy. But their armor, that earthly armor, don't give you any more confidence, see?
That's right.
That's what happens. If you start trusting the world, you're not going to have any more confidence in the next man.
Yeah,
and then that little David comes up, he said, I hadn't proved that. Nice way to say it. I don't want your armor, King. Why? Because here comes David. Let's just say he did get the armor. And let's just say he took it down there. And let's just say he got the victory. Guess what? People from way off, all around, everything else would say, Saul done that.
Yeah.
Where's Saul with you?
Yeah.
You old lie. You want the credit, don't you?
No.
You say that flesh is?
Right.
You get to the place in your life where you don't like to see other people do better. You're in the bad.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't like to see someone get saved. You don't like to see someone else preach a good sermon and all that stuff. Let me tell you what. You're in a bad spot, Saul.
Amen. Right. Yeah.
Somebody else gets a brand new pickup. Must be nice. Yes, it's nice.
Amen. It might work. Amen, brother.
Put your lazy butt up and go get a job.
That's right.
Well, obviously my God don't pay me. Well, go get another job.
That's right, brother.
Well, those people work two or three jobs. Don't get to the place where you like Saul. See, Saul eyed David when they start saying, well, he slain his thousand, but David his tens of thousand. And Saul started eyeing him. See, that's what you do.
Yeah.
You start eyeballing people, they start doing better than you do.
That's right.
Yeah. You better, that's the spirit of Saul. And you know what happens? He gets down and he takes five smooth stones. And here's Goliath on that smooth life. He's just been sitting down. He says, I'm not even going to take my helmet with me. Now, if you study warfare and you study these old armor suits and stuff like that, unless he had one of them turtle shell helmets on, like some of these motorcycle riders, you know, they got that one. Most of them helmets with a full face helmet and come down above their nose, everything else. He sank that stone right there in the middle of Goliath's head.
Yep.
Why? Because pride goeth before destruction and the Holy Spirit before a fall. And guess what happened? If you got that helmet of salvation, that Bible says above all, why? Because it keeps you from losing your head.
Yeah.
You know what that Bible tells you in 1 Samuel 17? He went down there and took his own sword and cut his head off.
That's right.
If you don't walk in those truths, you don't live those truths, that guess what happens? You haven't been studying your Bible, and right. Somebody takes your own King James Bible and teaches you false doctrine, you lose your mind.
Yeah.
You say, I got the Bible, I got enough learned. You'll never learn all that Bible. Study every single day. Every time I read it, I think, man, how did I miss that? How did I miss that one there? What in the world? Why didn't I see that right from my eyes? You know what happens? It's the book that's set up so you can spend a lifetime studying.
Yep. There's
countless books. I've got the books in my house. Man, look, so many books, I probably won't even read them all. But you know what? All of them writing about that one Bible.
Yep.
It's inexhaustible. So keep studying the thing or you'll lose your head.
That's right.
You got the shield of faith. Which faith are you talking about? Faith in faith? The Buddhists got a faith. The Muslims got a faith. All these people got faith. But you got the faith of the Son of God.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. His faith is who I'm living by. When my faith fails, his faith kicks up. And guess what? I put on that helmet, and it protects my mind.
Amen.
Come on.
You better have that.
That's
it. So you got that shield. Got a shield now. Bible tells you to quench all the fire darts of the wicked.
That's right.
Now you want to see something neat? Take your Bible, turn to 2 Samuel 23.
Amen.
It's amazing to me how all this stuff. You quench all the fiery darts. Get fiery darts. You ever seen those places in the Bible like Isaiah? And I think Romans, one place where it says they're in flames. With things. You know what happened? They didn't have their shield up.
Yeah.
And helmet of salvation, shield of faith, all these things. See, all these things work together while they're your armor. And if you don't have those things up in your life, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to get to the place where you're in a battle and you're not even prepared for what's coming. Now, while you're turning to 2 Samuel 23, I'm going to tell you something. This is Brother Chase's opinion, and I don't. When I tell you opinion, I'm just telling you opinion. If you study history, and like Genesis 11, Genesis 6, technology, you know, Genesis chapter 4, let's back up there. Cain and all his offspring had all this technology, and guess what happened? They got so smart, they was too smart for the all good, and guess what happened? They got to where they could mess with genetics and stuff like that. These angels saw the daughters of men, they came into them, and guess what happened? God had destroyed it.
That's right.
Genesis chapter 11, he said, look, man is so smart that nothing shall be restrained from them. If I don't come down there and do something about it, they're going to have one world government and they're acting crazy. Let's go down there and confound their language. All through that Bible, they get smart, they go knock back down, get smart, knock back right back down. And all these smart technology people have, you know what happens? We're getting too smart for our own good.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Our own devices are killing us. Yeah. When you get to a place where you see these kids and all they do, look, we all got cell phones. But you look at your cell phone and you get a report so much time you spend on that thing. How much time you spend on that? How much time you spend in your Bible? And you wonder why you got so many biblical illiterate things. People don't even know how to defend their salvation anymore.
Right.
Talking about a helmet of salvation in their personal testimony, they don't even know how to tell you to get so they can't even share the gospel.
Right.
But they can tell you all about what's happening on TikTok and Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook and all this stuff. Let me tell you what's happening. The devil has got people so smart that they're dumb.
Yeah.
Well, worldly smart.
That's right.
Look, there's a earthly wisdom and a heavenly wisdom, James tells you about. Look, the devil was sitting on the tree of knowledge.
Yeah.
He wants you to get so smart you think you can do things without God. Yeah, it was good for food. Pleasant to the eyes, desire to make one wise. But guess what? He didn't tell you, kill you.
Yeah. Right.
See, he'll tell you all kinds of stuff.
Right.
And it'll kill you spiritually. You go on fleshly, you know, you just go along, just living your life, and everything's wonderful, and everything's fine. But spiritually speaking, you can't even sit around very long and listen and preaching and teaching the Word of God. Why? Because you can't wait to get home and watch so-and-so and look at so-and-so and check your mail and check all this stuff. Why? Because you're too busy.
Yeah.
You get this thing, he tells you, I want you to have a shield up so you can quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, here's the old boy right here in 2 Samuel 23 in Absalom. Absalom gets over there, and guess what? He's running from his daddy, you know.
Yeah.
We all do. We all run from the father sometimes, you know. He knows best. He tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know what that Bible teaches you? He's riding through the woods, and he's got that old long hair. You know what happened? He got caught in a tree branch, and he's hung between heaven and earth. See, he's in between, see. He don't realize he got one foot on a banana peel and the other foot in the grave. That's how most people are. You don't realize how close you are to death. David even said there's but a step between me and death.
Amen.
Okay, well, he gets over here. You know what that Bible tells you? Joab, come up to him while he's hanging. And I believe it's verse number 18. Is it verse 18, brother, where it says there were three darts? What does it say, Brother Willie?
See, 18 says, now Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three, and he lifted up his spear against 300.
Oh, no, that's the wrong one.
That's the wrong one.
Is it 2 Samuel 23:18?
Yes, sir. That's what I'm reading.
Let's look at this thing.
Maybe 22.
I got to show you this. Look at 2 Samuel 20. 20 maybe. No, that's not it. 2 Samuel 18. 2 Samuel 18. Well, look here. Sorry about that, Brother Willie. 2 Samuel 18, verse number 14 says, then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took, watch this, three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. Three darts. Lust of flesh, lust of eyes, and pride of life.
Yeah.
And you know what happens? If you don't have that shield of faith, Bible said hit him in the heart. That's a strange thing. Why'd he put it like that? As a titan show you, if you don't have that shield of faith, the devil gets you with one of the three. He don't have to have a whole lot of stuff. Lust of the flesh. The Bible said over in Genesis, he said, it's good for food. It'll feed your flesh. Lust of the eyes, this desire to make one wise. See, he's got all these temptations that they work. And you know what the devil does? He wants you to not have on the whole armor. See, the reason why it says whole armor, he wants you to have, he's all right if you got truth. Okay, well, you got truth. That's fine. Well, look, here I am. I love Jesus Christ. And man, I know about the Holy Spirit of God. And I know about the Bible. I got the right Bible. But if you don't apply it to your life, okay, you leave off one piece of the armor and the devil gets you there.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with God's armor. There has something to do with His servants not walking in the truth that you've been learned, and He'll get it to your heart. And once you've been wounded, you know what's wrong with a lot of Christians? They've been wounded. Some of them just hurt. What happens is they get up here in church and somebody does something like me or anybody else. We're all prone to disappoint you. And instead we look at a man instead of Jesus Christ, and somebody disappoints you and you get one of them wounds in the heart. And you say, I can't believe they done so and so.
Yeah,
but look at what all you've done too, and God forgave you. Why can't you forgive them?
That's right.
You get to a place you don't have it, forgiveness, and guess what? Before long, your heart's damaged.
Yeah.
A lot of people are out. You know what's wrong with them? They just hurt.
Yeah.
They done got one of them darts. They just need some help. Why not instead of just tearing one another down, why don't we just go say, you know what? There's a spiritual battle here, and the devil would love for them and that family to be out and be mad. Let's pray for them then. Why are we going to run people down all the time? Just be so mean. That's what the world does. He's saying you're not even in the spiritual battle. There are people there who are hurting. They've been wounded.
Yeah.
You know what we're supposed to do? Be there to help each other.
That's right, brother.
You know what this old boy right here, he needs some help. Yeah. If you go back and read that story, go back and read it sometime. Absalom got mad at his daddy.
Yeah.
Because he'd done some things, and Lord, his daddy never accepted him. He told him, he said, no, you stay over. It took him like 2 years for David even. And Joab had to talk.
Yeah.
Joab had to play the mediator. And Joab had to talk David into even talking to son. And when he got there, his daddy half talked to him.
Yeah.
Now, what if God did us like this?
Right.
Treated us like we treat. I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to stomp up, but you see how you treat folks?
Yeah.
And you wonder why there's all this damage and all this hurt and all this. Why? Because here's Joab had to talk David, who's the man of God.
Yeah.
And his boy loves him and everything else, and guess what happens? Absalom gets madder and madder, and before long he's gone.
Yeah. Yep.
He's gone. You know what? If we don't try to help folks, you know what they're going to be? They're going to be gone. And where are they going to be? You ain't going to know then. You know what you better do? You better learn how to forgive.
Yeah, that's right.
Why, your heart's going to be damaged and theirs is too.
That's right.
You know what the best thing is? Get that straight tonight. Get it straight today.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know who I'm preaching to. I'm just talking to a bunch of folks I love. I'm just saying,
amen.
I know that that Bible is true, and I know that it's right, and I know those same things that went on go on today.
Yeah.
And there's people you need to be right with.
That's right.
Yeah. But if you don't get that thing right, it's going to cause damage.
Yeah, it's real.
That thing then goes over and tells you that had the sword of the Spirit. Now there's an old boy really in 2 Samuel 23 this time. Turn over and we'll close. I don't even know how much time I got. How much time I got?
All man.
Alright. So you get over here, and here's old boy. I like this old boy Eleazar, 2 Samuel 23, 9 and 10. This old boy, he had to be tough because the Bible said his name was Eleazar, son of Dodo. Now, don't you know he got made fun of?
Yeah.
That's why he was so tough. He was like the old boy named Sue, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He had to fight about every day. What did you say about my daddy? Hold on just a minute. I'm not going to let you talk bad about my mom and daddy. Now, you want to make a man mad, you say something bad about their mom and daddy.
Yeah, that's right.
You want to get some pop knots up on your head and shake your wishbone formation. I'm telling you, man. That's how they look. My brother says, he says, don't make me put you on your haircut.
He will. He's planning. He's big enough to do it, man.
You know what? This old boy was tough. And you know what that Bible tells you over 9 and 10? That he defended while the Philistines came in there and nobody else was there. David trusted him enough to leave him there with to protect all those things. You know what that Bible says? He fought them. In verse 10, he fought him until the sword clave to his hand. Woo!
Amen.
Now, here's the thing about that. There's all kind of spiritual application I've heard, you know, because you grab something and your hand stays that way, and, you know, you rub up blisters and then it kind of wail to it and all this stuff. But here's some good practical application. What are you holding on to?
Yeah.
Well, whatever you hold on to, that fixes your grasp. That your hand is going to look like whatever you've been holding on to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, are you holding on to your Bible or are you holding on to the things of the world? I'm just saying, I think it would be neat. Because people call you weirdo, hey, you suffer some reproach for God. I wish people would hold on to their Bibles as much as they do their cell phones.
Yeah.
Right.
What if you have a little pocket Bible and you carry that thing around just like you do everybody else and over here, and you're over here going, oh, it's like saying, y'all, that's a good story right there. They come, what are you reading about? Look, you look about half crazy. Well, I guarantee you, imagine you got all these people, these, you talk about these aliens and stuff like that. What if they's looking down, if that stuff was real, they's looking down, they seeing everybody doing like this all the time, they say, what's wrong with them folks? They're not even living. Look, they won't look. It's to the place now where they won't even go swimming. They'll take pictures and film other people swim instead of them getting in there doing anything about it. It's to the place now where somebody will start killing somebody or somebody start mugging somebody on a train or something, and instead of helping them, they'll film it.
Yeah, that's right.
You old coward, you.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to, man, I'll tell you something. This world is sissified.
Sure.
It's spineless. Just spineless, backbone world we live in.
That's right.
That's an excuse.
That's right.
I filmed it.
Right.
Why didn't you help them?
That's right.
This old boy right here, David trusted him so much with his sword. You know what David knew about that old boy right there? He said, that boy right there will fight to the death. He will not let go of his sword. He will defend with his very life.
Right.
Okay? You get back over to Ephesians, when he tells you to stand, the whole context was, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Servants, obey your masters. The previous chapter was speaking to yourselves in songs, hymns, spiritual songs, submitting yourselves one to another. All these things. Guess what? Will you hold on to your sword and defend your family, defend your speech, and defend your church and all that stuff? Like that old boy right there did. We love reading about these things. Well, guess what? Today, you get to do that.
Yeah, that's right.
You get to stand for your family. You get to stand for your church. You get to stand in your daily walk with God. Stand, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore.
Yeah.
Why don't you make a stand then? You got the sword. Well, then back over there, he said, you know, this is part of the armor because there's a colon at the end of that verse right there, and it tells you, praying always with all prayer and supplication for all saints. And Paul says, pray for me that I'll get boldness.
Amen.
You read the very next chapter over in Philippians chapter 1, the Bible said he preached with boldness. He got courage.
Yeah.
You know what we're going to have to do, folks? Wouldn't this be wonderful? That answer to prayer is forever recorded in the Bible. You imagine getting up there to heaven. And man, you get up there and the Lord says, I want to show you some records. The Bible talks about books in heaven. And look, I don't know what all that entails. I know the Bible's going to be there for one, the book of life, all these things. But I know this. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Bible talks about those prayers are in a vial up there in the book of Psalms and things. So he keeps all kind of stuff. And he said, I want you to see some of your answered prayers down there. Wouldn't that be something? Man, I pray for Brother Terry, pray for Brother Willie, pray for my church family, pray for... And wouldn't it be something to say, let me show you where this prayer goes. Let me show you why I've done a work in this life. Let me show you why this happened. Because you stood and haven't done all the same. You stood and you prayed and you prayed.
Yeah, yeah.
You get over here in 1 Samuel 17, Goliath's armor, the Bible said he had greaves. You know what that Bible tells you about your armor? You don't have any greaves. Why? You don't have no protection for the knees. Of course, we know about the back. Most people talk about, but the army of God, the old preachers, you say marches on his knees.
Amen.
How's your prayer life? Woo! Of all the stuff we talk about, man, we want the sword of the Spirit. Man, bless the Lord, I got the right Bible, I got the right faith,
right.
I got the right shield, I got my Lord's girdle and all this stuff. Well, why are you praying for everybody? The Bible tells you they get all this suited up and all this stuff. And he said, now I want you to pray. Well, I wanted to get out here and fight. He said, well, it's not carnal. The fight is, are you going to spiritually stand for your brothers and sisters in Christ and try to help them? You see somebody lost, lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if they won't come to the Lord, give them the gospel and let somebody else come along. And if somebody else leads them to Christ, be glad that they let them to Christ. Man, it's wonderful. Brother Terry was telling me this earlier today about salvation and what all went on. And let me tell you something, my heart rejoices, one, because I'm glad. I want to see people get saved.
Amen.
Now, as we walk out of here tonight, are you going to stand? You going to stand and say, look, you know, we had a good time this week. Man, ain't this wonderful? Okay, well, what are you going to do about it this week?
Right.
You going to try to lift these truths and stand in anything and let them make you be a better husband then? Well, I want to walk in the truth, okay? You know, well, submitting, you know why I submit? Well, be somebody worth submitting to then.
Yeah, right.
Be a good man.
That's right.
You get over here, well, I want to do all this stuff. So, okay, well, if you can't do anything else, you say, I can't do some of these things. Can you pray?
Right, man.
He tells you that's part of the armor.
That's right.
Prayer warriors. Why do they call them prayer warriors? You're in the fight.
Right.
I want you to know in closing, every one of you got something you can do tonight.
Yeah.
All of us can get in this battle together.
Yeah.
Are we going to stand and fight together if we walk out and say, Lord, I want to see you do something. Look at all these folks here tonight. What if we all went home and applied the truths we learned just this week to our daily lives?
Yeah.
What a difference it would make in your job and in your community and in these families. The attacks on the family.
That's right.
That's why he was addressing the family.
That's right.
Let's do something about it, church.
Right.
Yeah. Guess what? God will help you. And God will give you a revival that will last.
That's right.
Let's pray, Brother Will.